join us for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
Part of our services. Thank you, Casey. We appreciate you, and we'll be certainly praying for you in the next few days, as there's nothing like a flood to say Happy Mother's Day. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. My text this morning comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, where in just a moment I'll begin reading in verse 3, where the Apostle Paul is writing to his spiritual son Timothy, and he's writing from a prison in Rome. He writes here to strengthen and to encourage his spiritual son. You see, it's his child, it's his son that is struggling to overcome some very real feelings of fear that life has left him, feelings of discouragement. He has now become defensive and somewhat intimidated. And so, notice here, the Apostle Paul writes in verse 3 and says this, "I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your genuine, sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am now persuaded lives in you also." Let me pause here, and on this Mother's Day, help us to recognize that Paul attributes both Timothy's conversion and his great faith to the influence of his grandmother Lois and his Jewish mother Eunice. And so, here's the Apostle Paul. He's looking at encouraging his spiritual son. He's giving him some reasons to be encouraged. Chief among those reasons is his faith and his heritage. He reminds him, "You have a grandmother by the name of Lois and a Jewish mother by the name of Eunice. They have a great faith. They have a genuine faith that I am persuaded now works in you, now is at work in you." Notice how the language changes in verse 6. "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of fear." God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice, but God has given us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. For some reason, this child, by the name of Timothy, was lacking in courage and self-confidence. Gone was the boldness and the determination that he needed to pastor and to lead his life. And now, this spiritual son is in a place of doubt, fear, insecurity, and timidity. I think it's important to pause and circle this word timidity, because it's the only time in the New Testament that this Greek word is used. That should say something to us. It's the only time in the entire New Testament that this word for fear is used. This child is suffering from that spirit of fear and that spirit of timidity. We're in a series that emphasizes breaking the spirit of timidity. And in this series, we are hoping you and I can experience together the power of a spiritual father and a spiritual mother. Webster's defines the word timidity as lacking in courage or self-confidence. He says it's lacking in boldness or determination, and it refers to one being shy, one who is fearful, and one who is hesitant. Today, from this passage of Scripture, we're going to see how a spiritual mother gives a gift of faith, a genuine faith. That within that gift of faith, there is the Spirit of God. And where there is that Spirit of God, there is His power, there is His love, and there is His self-discipline, or as in some cases, some of the translations use the words, soundness of mind. So this morning, we salute our mothers. We salute our mothers who have been given the challenge and have been given the opportunity to leave within each of our hearts a genuine faith. Let's take this moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we pray over the reading of your word. And this morning, we just ask that you would just make it a lamp into our life. That you would make it a light for each one of our paths. That, God, it would be a precious path from each mother to each child. And that it would leave for that child a way of living life. And that each child would never, ever leave that path. But that each child would find God's Spirit on that path. And that would leave them with power, love, and a soundness of mind. We pray this in the wonderful name of the Lord. Amen. and amen. Notice here that when Timothy, the spiritual son, is timid and he's intimidated, he's insecure, and he's at the lowest point in his life, his spiritual father encourages him by, number one, reminding him of his calling and his ordination. Number two, he reminds him that God has not given to him a spirit of fear, but that God has given to them both, as spiritual father and son, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-discipline. And that he reminds him these three virtues are supplied by the Holy Spirit, and these three virtues should define us when the spirit of timidity tries to confine us. Notice how in verse 6 again, how Paul uses Timothy's faith and heritage to stir him up. He points to his mom. He points to his grandmother. He points to their great faith. Sometimes you have to be reminded when you are in the midst of going through something difficult that you're not in your battle alone. That you have someone like a spiritual mom who is standing at your side and who knows how to touch heaven on your behalf. And that's what the Apostle Paul does in the life of his spiritual son, Timothy. He says, for this reason, for the reason of your grandmother's faith, for the reason of your mother's faith, for the reason of that faith in you, I am persuaded it is there. I want to remind you that it is a gift of God that I want you to stir up. I want to fan that gift into flame by the laying on of hands. That's a comforting thought to know as a child that you're never in your battle alone. That your mother, your spiritual mother, and her faith that's being left in you or has been left for you is in that battle with you. Here, Timothy hears again of his great heritage of faith. That he did have a praying mom. He did have a praying grandmother. That there was a legacy. Each of us are leaving a legacy for those who will come behind us. Whether that's good, bad, or ugly is our choice. But in their lives, they chose to follow God in such a way that it left a genuine faith inside their son. As a result, Timothy's reminded that his spirit is filled with power, filled with love, and filled with self-discipline. I believe that reminder leaves us a very powerful calling and very powerful opportunity for every mom that's seated here this morning. That is, you have the opportunity and the challenge to leave in your children's heart a genuine faith. A genuine faith that is filled with God's spirit of power, love, and a soundness of mind. I want us to take just a moment to look more at those three words and those three terms in the original context and language, because I think it helps us describe the kind of spirit that godly mothers leave for their children. It's a gift. It's a gift that God longs for you to leave in others, and it's a gift that will give them the power to leave a legacy of their own. Let's first look at this word power. Because this word in the original language and context refers to miraculous power. By implication, it refers to a miracle itself. That's what this mom left in her son Timothy. She left power. She left not just any kind of power, but she left God's miraculous power. That in and of itself, it was a miracle. The King James Version needs more words to describe this dunamis, this Greek word for power. And through the King James Version, they'll use these words to describe that Greek word. They'll use the word ability, abundance, meaning, might, mightily, mighty deed, a worker of miracles, strength, mighty and wonderful work. That's powerful to think that a mom has that kind of influence on her child's life. But this is what Timothy had influencing his life. His mom had left him a gift. That gift had three parts. It had power, it had love, and it had a soundness of mind. She left a power in him that gave him God's ability, gave him God's abundance, gave him an understanding of what that power looks like and what it means to his life. That he would not have to walk through life in his own power and might, but he would have the power and the might of the Holy Spirit at his side. That's what a godly mom can leave her children, and that's what was left for Timothy. Paul uses this word in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where in verse 1 he says, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come to you with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. That's the godly gift a mom can leave in the legacy that she leaves through her influence and through the memories of her influence in the hearts of her children. She leaves something in her children that is greater than natural power. She leaves within them supernatural power, a power that rests not on the wisdom of men, but rests on the ability and might of God. And so that's the first word that Paul uses to describe this gift that lies in the heart, right now dormant in the life of Timothy. And as a result of it being dormant, he's struggling with a spirit of intimidation and timidity. But he's reminding Timothy what's on the inside of him that was left there by his mother and by his grandmother. The second thing that a godly mother leaves that we see in this story is love. As we look at the word used from the original language, we see that it doesn't refer to just any kind of love, not a Hollywood kind of love, not a romance, harlequin kind of novel kind of love, but the God kind of love. It refers to a genuine affection, a benevolence, specifically a love feast. The Apostle Paul is saying, your mom, your grandmother left something in you. It was godly power and it was godly love. It's a feast of charity. Paul uses this word again in 1 Timothy chapter 1, where he says in verse 5, the goal of this word, the goal of this commandment is to love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. As I look through the Rolodex of my own mothers, I can't help but wander towards my mom's, whose name is Arlene, and the life that she lived. You see, my mom was one of those that didn't allow us to criticize others. She took the fun out of coming home from school at the end of the day and talking about the kids that would make fun of me. I felt like my only defense was to make fun of them. And so I would call someone's name and I would begin to point out their weaknesses, and my mom would stop me in my tracks. And she would teach me about God's unconditional love. She would say, Greg, we don't talk about people like that. Besides, she may be a little bit on the heavy side, but she has beautiful eyes. You see, my mom always saw what was beautiful that God had placed in other people's lives, not what was lacking, that you and I have a tendency in our natural man to point out, to make fun of, and to criticize. My mom would always look for the good in people. And therefore, as a result, in her later years, her life is filled with many, many people who love her. Several years ago, when my mother had a major stroke, it was amazing to see all of the different people who through the years were affected by my mother's love. My dad would tell me that they would receive flowers from people all over the community. That when my mom finally was able to start talking after the stroke, my dad would have to ask her who these people were. He had never heard their name. And so my mom would try to explain as best she could. And what we began to realize is that though we didn't know how my mom's love affected others, it obviously had an effect on them, because people started sending an outpouring of their love and affection to her. She started receiving flowers from all over the community. My dad would tell stories of how people that he didn't know and my mom couldn't remember would pull up in front of the house with food, having heard through the grapevine that my mom had a stroke. They brought food for not just weeks, but for months, and they would check on my mom. You see, my mom taught us a godly love. My mom gave us a godly love. I think, as a fellow Timothy, as a fellow pastor, I think my mom taught me a love that sometimes gets me in trouble, a love that sometimes my wife looks at me and has to remind me, Greg, you see the good in people. They're not as good as you see them to be. You have to step back and recognize you see them as God wants them to be, but you have to pastor them as they are. Thank you for the one that was truly honest. My mom left that in my heart. I asked her not long ago, because we were talking on the phone and we were talking politics, and how many of you know that's always fun? And I was pointing out a particular candidate or two that had different perspectives than God's word. And my mom stopped me. She said, Greg, don't be critical. I said, Mom, I'm not being critical of the person. I'm just struggling with their views and how they see life. And she said, well, son, have you earned the right to criticize them? Like, I knew where this was going. I've heard this sermon before from my mom. So I asked, well, what do you mean by that? And I knew what she was going to say because she's been consistent. She said, it's not until we've laid our lives down and given our lives to others like Christ gave his life to us that we've earned the right to criticize them. And Jesus, though he earned the right to criticize us, came not to condemn us, but to save us. I'm like, well, Mom, I love him, but I don't like his politics. And my mom said, well, then love him and pray for him and pray for this wonderful nation. You see, love. Love is something that influences all of us. It's something that all of us gravitates to. Mother's Day is a day that we celebrate our mothers and the love they give us. Sociologists tell us that this is the most spend happy day all year long, and that over $1.6 billion will be spent today celebrating mom. That makes that jewelry you bought at the dollar store not feel as painful. So Timothy has received God's power and God's love. This is all in him. This is a great heritage. It's an influence. This is his DNA. This is what makes him so special as a pastor. It makes him somewhat vulnerable to a spirit that would seek to intimidate and make him timid. But it's there that his spiritual father stirs up his DNA and says, not only has God left and given to you a spirit of power, love, but also a soundness of mind in your heart that you might live your life. The NIV uses the word self-discipline, but the original Greek word here means to walk soberly, to walk in moderation with self-control, to walk with safe thinking. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, now there's a thought. Paul uses this same Greek word in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, he's again having a conversation with his spiritual son. And he's warning his spiritual son, and he's talking to his spiritual son about what the end times will look like. He's telling his son that in the end times, people will give themselves over to fables and to fantasy, that they'll have a form of godliness, but they'll be denying the power thereof. And he goes through in chapter 3 this list of all these different sins that Christians will be allowing into their lives and living out. And he says to his spiritual son in that third chapter, they'll practice a form of godliness, and they'll deny the power thereof, and to be careful of them. And so in this fourth chapter, I believe he's saying to his son, you must be careful in the end times. You must walk with God's mind. You must walk with self-discipline. There must be a soundness of mind. There must be a safe way of spiritually thinking. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, son, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. What a gift. What a gift to leave to your children, a safe way of thinking. What a gift to be able to leave to your children, to show them what they need to know and not what they want to know. See, as we're younger, we have a tendency to want what we want and think we need what we need. We gravitate towards what we need and what we want, and we have a tendency to be selfish and not even know it. What the Apostle Paul is speaking to Timothy about is a future, a time he must ready himself for, a time that will require spiritual maturity. That's all being stirred up here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. When he says to his son, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit that is filled with God's power, with God's love, and with God's safe way of thinking. There must be a generational way of thinking according to God's word. There must be those who rise up and train those who are younger in the Lord and tell them, you may want this today, but you will regret this tomorrow. The temporary pleasure that you're living for today will cause you long-term consequences. There must be a time that you set aside your life, set aside your finances, set aside your needs and your desires and your fleshly wants. There must be a voice in every person's life who says, you don't want to go there. There must be a mother's voice that says, son, stop right there. And my mom would stop me every Friday night before I would leave to go out with my friends. And she would pray over me. She would plead the blood of Jesus over me. She would place angels to the north, south, east, and west. And she indelibly etched that in my mind. She prayed it so many times over her kids that now I pray it all the time over my kids. She would look at me with a brokenness because my mom can cry that fast because her love is so passionate for her children. And she would say, Greg, I don't even know why you're going out on a Friday night. Nothing good happens on Friday night. I don't know about these friends, and I don't know where you go, and I just have a grieving in my spirit when you're not right with the Lord, and I'm not sure that everything is right. Now go have a good time. I'm looking for the knife. See, as I grow older and I look back on my mom, I don't remember as much what she wasn't. Oh, I remember times that I was embarrassed of my mom, probably like you were, and I'd make her drop me off a block from whatever event I was going to. But as I grow older, I don't stop and thank her for taking me to all the games and making me miss church. I don't stop and thank her for making church optional. I don't stop and thank her for letting me just get by. Now I call my mom often. And because the stroke took my mom's memory to some degree, she forgets the conversation we have over and over again. But every time on that phone when I talk to my mom, I try to remind her of the mom I'm most thankful for. I've lost sight of the mom she wasn't, and I thank God for the mom she was. And I thank Mom for grounding me. I thank Mom for not letting us talk bad about people, which comes so easily. I thank my mom for praying over me, for pleading the blood of Jesus. I thank Mom for being the crazy mama that my friends kind of made fun of. I thank Mom for being a godly, spirit-filled, tongue-talking commando. She gave me a gift. She influenced me. She engraved God's power, God's love, and God's safe thinking in my heart. What I do with it now is on my watch. I watch my wife, and I watch the incredible mom she is to my girls. I watch how she has this uncommon, uncanny ability to be hard with my girls when she needs to be hard, soft when she needs to be soft. I marvel at how my wife can listen and listen and listen. And it makes me appreciate all the more and understand all the more the heritage my mom left in me and the legacy you're leaving in them. This passage of scripture finds the Apostle Paul saying, man, Timothy, I know you're discouraged. I know you're intimidated. And I know pastoring's not easy. I know living life's not easy. I know you're down. And I know that fear is like a prison on the inside of you and it's beating you up. But I want to remind you that there is something even greater on the inside of you that fear could never imprison. And that is the faith your mama left there. It was her gift to you. It was your grandmother's gift, and it was left there. And that is the gift of faith that is filled with God's power, God's love, and God's safe way of thinking. I close today, my first of 12 closings, with three gifts that you can give your mom. three short stories that remind you the importance and the power of these gifts. Exodus 20 says in verse 12, to honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I think it's important as fathers for us to teach our children to respect their mother. My hope is that my girls know nothing will get them in trouble faster than disrespecting their mother, and that nothing will bring the blessing of their father quicker than loving and respecting their mom, who every day lays her life down for us. It's a shame when a generation of teenagers grow up respecting somebody's mom they don't know more than the mom they do. But there are three gifts I think each of us can give our moms. They don't cost anything but time and respect. It's the gift of our words, the gift of our touch, and the gift of our patience. I start by reminding you that today's a day and a chance to honor our mom with our words. A man writes this story, and he said, I grew up thinking I don't have to say I love you because, well, those that are loved by me already know it. I've told them before, and if I change my mind, I'll let them know. And then something happened in his life that forever changed the way he looked at it. And he said, I write this for a reason, and that's to not just urge men, but all of us, to expressing the feelings that we have for our loved ones while they're still alive. He said, I don't know why so many are reluctant to express the depth of their feelings, but they are. Here's his story. He writes it to Dear Abby. He says, Dear Abby, I enlisted shortly after Pearl Harbor. 36 days later, I was on my way to the Philistines. En route to the Philippines, or en route. Another Pastor Greg moment on Mother's Day. Let's start over. How about that? Thank you, Dina, for the help there. I really appreciate it. Dear Abby, I enlisted shortly after Pearl Harbor. Who's kidding who here? Do you guys ever think your eyes are getting better than they really are? I keep telling myself, they're getting better, they're getting better. And really, the truth is, my glasses are getting thicker and thicker. Pretty soon, I'll be up here with two Coke bottles. Hey, everybody! Dear Abby, I enlisted shortly after Pearl Harbor. 36 days later, I was on my way to the Philippines. En route, the Philippines fell to the Japanese, and we were rerouted to Australia. 11 days after we landed, I met the most beautiful girl in the world. On our first date, I told her I was going to marry her. Sound familiar? 18 months later, I did, while on a 10-day R&R leave from New Guinea. After more than 57 years of marriage and two children, my beloved Mary died 5 days before Christmas. Although we agreed that our ashes were to be scattered over the mountains, I found I could not part with hers. While Mary was alive, she would frequently say, "You don't know how much I love you." I'd reply, "Likewise, I never said I love you." Now her ashes are on my dresser, where I tell her several times a day how much I love her, but it's too late. Although I wrote poetry to her, I could not bring myself to say the three words I knew she wanted most to hear. As my dearest wife Mary was dying and we thought she was comatose, I told her, "There aren't enough words to tell you how much I love you." A few hours later, she whispered her final words and said, "Not enough words," and she died. Again, this man writes. And this morning, I think it's a gift that he encourages each of us to give to those that we love. And that is the gift of our words. The next gift that each of us can give to our moms and to those that we love is our touch. A couple questions for you. The first of which is, when was the last time you gave your mom a great big hug or a kiss on the cheek? A meaningful touch. More than likely, your mom was the first person who ever touched you. More than likely, she was the first one to hold you, to cuddle you, to pinch your chubby little cheeks. She was most likely the first one to clean your face and to fix the cowlick in your hair with her own spit. The second question is similar. Do you remember back when we were all kids and our moms would ask us to give them some sugar And we'd pucker up and give him a big, wet, sloppy Kool-Aid kiss. My favorite color was purple. What was your favorite color of Kool-Aid? Back then, we would give our moms a bear hug so tight, she would stop breathing for a moment. And yet, it would be those hugs and those loving affirmations that would give her breath to breathe. Back then, she would constantly hug us, kiss us, and tell us how proud she was of us. And she led us to believe that we could do just about anything. Those were the meaningful touches that made us feel like we were hers and made her feel like we were proud. Today, I want you to take some time to love your mom with meaningful touches. It may mean more than flowers, candy, eating out, or a brand new car. Well, maybe let's not go that far. The point is to honor your mom today, to honor the ones that you love with your words and with meaningful touch. And finally, a story from Dr. Dobson on giving our mothers the gift of our patience. This is where we find ourselves with Dina's mama, as we care give on a daily basis. Dr. Dobson read this letter on his radio show. It was from an 80-year-old woman on her birthday. She said, "To all my children, I suppose my upcoming birthday started my thoughts along these lines. This is a good time to tell you that what I truly want are things I can never get enough of, yet they are free. I want the intangibles. I would like for you to come and sit with me and for you to be relaxed. We can talk or we can be silent. I would just like for us to be together. I need your patience when I don't hear what you say the first time. I know how tiresome it is to always be repeating, but sometimes I have to ask you to repeat because I can't hear. I need your patience when I think too much about the past, when I am slow and when I am set in my ways. I need and want you to be tolerant with what the years have done to me physically. Please be understanding about my personal care habits. I spill things. I lose things. I get unduly excited when I try to figure out my bank statements. So I give them to the son-in-law. I can't remember what time to take my medication or if I've taken it already. I take way too many naps, but sometimes sleep is the only way to get me through the day. Well, there you have it. Your time, your patience, and your understanding. These are the priceless gifts that I want." This 80-year-old lady finishes by saying, finally in his letter, the Apostle Paul wrote and said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." I know, as an older lady, I can do old age too. It's a wonderful feeling, though, to know that his eye is on the sparrow, and I know that he cares for me. Kids, I guess being old isn't so bad after all. Love, Mom. I want us just to take a moment to let the Holy Spirit search our hearts, because I think this is so much more than a Mother's Day message. I think it's a life one. But I do think this Mother's Day, it's time for each of us to let the Holy Spirit kind of do a diagnostic check on our heart to see how we're doing with others. Have we gotten so busy to get ahead that we've stopped really, truly doing the things that God says is well done and acceptable? Have we grown frustrated with what others aren't and stopped valuing what they are? On this Mother's Day, can each of us just bow our hearts and bow our heads? And can each of us recommit ourselves to loving others with all of our heart, with all of our strength, and with all of our soul, just as we were commanded to love the Lord? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift that godly mothers give to each of us, a gift of your power, a gift of your love, and a gift of a soundness of mind that comes through your word. Now, Lord, may each of us recommit ourselves to giving to our mothers the priceless gifts of our words, our touch, and our patience. May today we give back to our mothers. May we honor their position, even if we see that they have failed us in so many different ways. God, forgive us for concentrating on the failures. Soften our hearts, we pray this morning, that we would give our hearts back to our home, back to our mothers, and back to you. God, we give you permission now to do a miracle in our heart. We pray this in the wonderful name of the Lord. And everybody said, amen. Kind of feel like I've watched a soap opera this morning as I talk through my sermon. But I love passionately and I love deeply the women in my life that make my life complete. And had it not been for the way that you've loved our children, I might not have truly seen the way that my mom loved me. I'd like us to stand this morning because I think it would be so fitting for us to invite our Apostle Paul, John Fowler, to the pulpit to speak a special Mother's Day blessing over each of the spiritual children that attend and call Dominion Church their home.
Great word, Pastor Greg. So important for us. This blessing this morning is really for mothers. It's applicable to we fathers also. So mothers, raise your right hand and receive this. We love you all so much because I know I'm a part of the kingdom of God because of a praying, godly mother. And I imagine there's many of us that could say the same thing. I bless you with a love for the Word of God, which gives light to your way and provides hope, security, and wisdom as you hide it in your heart. Be blessed with wisdom to train your children by example how to love the Lord your God with all their heart, mind, and spirit, and love their neighbors as themselves. I bless you to have such sincere faith in God that it is evident to your children, resulting in their becoming men and women of faith. May God grant you supernatural wisdom, understanding, and discernment, that you may be aware of the times in which we live and know how to set priorities for you and your family. I bless you to nurture, protect, and guide the children God has entrusted into your care for a season and not to succumb to fear and doubt in this day of evil in which we live. May God supply all your needs, material, physical, mental, and spiritual, and may He continually be your source of supply, for He is faithful. May all your plans succeed, and may your children rise up and call you blessed. I bless you in the name of the Lord. God bless you. Go in His grace and His love.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.